the world.
You think this is exaggeration? This I know to be true.
Welcome to a new series, a new something, an amount of episodes of Theatre of the World. We're Man Bites God. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
I'm Chris.
Welcome to our podcast parlor. Here's what happens every episode of Theatre of the World: is we take one word and that becomes the basis for the entire show. We tell stories and we write stories and we sing songs and we write poems and we bore each other senseless with that one word until we never want to hear the word again.
Yes.
Today the word is first.
First.
Makes sense? Start of a new series. The first episode back.
It's the fifth first episode of a season we've done.
Oh, no. I didn't know there was going to be stats.
Except for the first special.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done that first That's special true. As well. But then we've done subsequent specials.
So it's the sixth first episode that we've done.
Yeah.
So I want you to say the phrase subsequent specials.
Subsequent specials.
Chris, you're such a subsequent special, Chris.
Thank you.
We didn't take the S's down on the recording.
It's a sibilance.
If you haven't invaded the podcast that we make before, the way we start it is we do fact bombs about the topic first that is presented by the Mark, and we sing the theme song now.
Yes.
Fact bombs, fact bombs. Mark's got a fact bombs. Fact bombs. For the third and final single from her debut album, Speak, Lindsay Lohan released the song first.
Oh no, it's backwards in time.
Mm. The track was also used to promote the film Herbie Fully Loaded. It failed to chart in the US.
Well, she was still kind of popular when she was doing that, because Herbie Fully Loaded was that on the decline?
That was 2005, so that she hadn't quite gone off the rails.
When you were doing your exhausting research for this show, did you happen to download any of the lyrics to that song?
No, I didn't. But it's all about. I did read that it was about wanting to come first in her relationship with her boyfriend, which led to many a double entendre.
But it also makes sense because Herbie Fully Loaded, it's about a race, so she wants to come first.
Yeah.
And she wants to have an orgasm.
First.
Wunderbar. Keep the facts coming.
The first is a mountain in the Bernese Alps overlooking Kandersteg in the canton of Bern.
Yeah. Is it spelt the same or is it sound the same?
No, it's spelt the same. And I think it sounds the same. It may not sound the same.
So, first Bern.
Yeah.
It sounds like a Stallone movie.
Fierst, perhaps.
It could be Fierst.
Fierst.
Could be Fierst.
He's right, that guy. Mm.
Louis Armstrong was the first man to walk on Keith Moon.
But by no means the only man. Keith Moon would have spent a lot of time on the ground.
Oh, I was quite proud of that joke.
Zing, zing.
Fact bombs.
That's one small step for man. What a wonderful world. very good.
Thank you.
Chris?
Yes.
You wanna kick it? You wanna kick it off?
Sure, I can kick something. I've got a website.
Oh, we haven't done this thing for a while.
Not since last episode.
Not since Chris's website.
Hello. Welcome to Chris's website.
For a hard-earned first.
Because we're talking about first, I thought I would share with you the link to the first website on the internet.
Oh, is there a documented first website?
Absolutely. There is exactly the first folder, if you like, because of really the internet is just a great big hard drive full of folders that you can access. Would you agree with that, Sparky?
Yeah, essentially.
So and I don't know. One, the first one is, and here's the address. I think it's wise to share the address. Yeah. Info, info.cern, C-E-R-N dot C-H, slash hypertext, slash www, slash theproject.html.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I'm not entirely sure that that's the original web address, but it has the content of the original web cached address.
Yeah, I would say that it was probably originally just an IP number.
I would say it was probably an IP number as well.
www/www.
Yeah, because there were no names. There proper names.
Porn.
It's a lot of. It's just a series of descriptions of about what the internet should be.
Oh my kind God. It's just, so meta.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it was like, you know, when you're trying to explain to people how they do their own website, that you just send them there and then they go, oh, okay, I understand how this stuff works now. But
how many references to cats are there?
Look, there is a limited to no references to cats.
Oh, so we're not supposed to have cats on the internet.
Up first. Oh,
interesting.
No specific references. Mm-hmm. Though I believe the second website on the internet was porn. So
is that true?
I'd have to assume so.
Oh, me too.
You know. And who could access that first website?
I bet the web address for that was www.youhavetogohere/3p12:http://. Porn.
Yeah. And you imagine all of those people
dot boob
who went out and bought a dial-up modem
to find out what the internet was supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, good times.
I bet there was probably details about how to buy a dial-up modem, which would have been the most useless thing to put on the internet because you couldn't see it without a dial-up modem.
Yeah.
Actually, while we're talking about... Oh, do you have more?
No.
While we're talking about this subject, because one of the things I thought about when we were doing firsts was because as regular listeners to this program will know, you guys know about things and I don't. Okay. So I remember Chris, when he and I were housemates, Chris was the guy who introduced me to what computers were and how the internet worked. And he said to me, and I quote, "James, I'm not going to be your friend until you have an email address. How am I going to communicate with you?" And I said, "I don't know. You could just bang on the wall of my bedroom." No. I need to type it into a computer. "But I don't have a computer," I said. "Does it work on my electric typewriter?" "I've thrown that in the bin," he said. Anyway, I digress. But it was good. Chris very patiently sat me down and he created a email address for me, which is the email address I have to this day.
Wow.
And he...
it's an antique.
And he showed... Yes, and he showed me how to use the Googles. And so I was thinking about, and I don't know if you guys could remember this. I can remember, because Chris said, "Here is the Googles."
Mm.
Voila un Google, if we were in French, which we weren't. And I said, "Wow, what does it do?" And he said, "Anything you want to look at on the internet, you type into this and it'll just take you, it'll suggest some web pages. You can go and have a look at things." He said, "Just type anything in and just play with it. Just play all day and explore it. And you should explore it." I went, "Oh, that sounds good." So this was the first thing that I ever typed into Google. Circus freaks.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Circus freaks was the first thing I ever typed into Google. And that is why I think the first ever website I went to was rotten.com.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that had a whole circus freak section of malformed and crazy looking people and things. And then I think two clicks later, I was at porn. And it was like a choose your own adventure book where. It just all the roads led to porn. Like I wasn't searching for anything particularly sexual or pornographic. It's porn now. Chris would say. I went, "Oh yeah, I don't really want to look." That's not a lot of circus freaks on these naked people. Anyway, you have to go back and maybe try different. Like
maybe don't use the word freaks.
Yeah, don't use the word freaks. And try a different search thing. I type in, I don't know, dogs, and I tap porn. Three clicks later, I was at porn, and I couldn't escape. I said, "Chris, is the internet all pornography?" And he said, "Yeah, mostly." Mm-hmm. I said, "This is great." Thank you for showing this.
Almost definitely. Yeah. And of course at that point it was super incredibly slow porn as well. So yeah. It was,
I'll be honest with you, I didn't dilly-dally around because we only had one computer and it was in Chris's bedroom. I think it's the height of ill manners to look at porn in someone else's bedroom. Mm-hmm. I think you got to draw the line somewhere. So I just tried to access it on my electric typewriter from the bin. It's impossible. Do you remember the first thing you typed into Google?
I don't,
but I definitely, the first thing I typed into a search engine wasn't on Google. It would have been on Alta Vista. And I'm trying to think what the first
No idea what
thing
that is. Yeah. It's a Radiohead single.
Yep, no idea. No idea. I think I might have looked up Rage Against the Machine or something.
Wow.
Like that, yeah.
Way better than Circus.
The first thing I typed into Google and...
Was it your own name? Weird.
No, that was the second thing I typed in. And the third thing I typed in was porn.
Awesome.
But
well, you're in your own bedroom. That's fine.
The first thing I typed in was Google because... I had a very specific reason for this. Is because, I can't remember the details of how... One discovered Google, like it was just, it sort of appeared out of nowhere. But the reason I looked it up was because I wanted to know what the meaning of the word Google was because, you know,
it's a number.
It was a search engine called Google.
And it's a number.
Yeah.
It's a very, very big number.
It's a very big number. And that's a very appropriate name. Mm.
So the first website was a website about what a website is, and you type in Google into Google. It's like doing a podcast with Christopher Nolan.
Look, it's the basis of research. You start where you are and then move out.
It's also the
that's, that's like how a lot of my relationships end.
Zing.
Topical.
Let's do we'll cut that. Do you want to go and have a sob? Let's do a segment.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do a segment called James's List of Things.
James's List of Things. James's List of Things. James has got some things to list. Bing.
First edition, but not the first. James' List of Things.
No, but the collectible edition. I
the omnibus.
I once... by the way, I love how at the start of that theme song, the breath before it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh, one day the breath, the intake of breath will outlast the song itself. So my list of things today is first drafts of songs. Now...
Ooh.
We're all songwriters. We've all written our share of mega hits. And often, you know, the kind of cliche question is, well, you know, when you write a song, what do? Do you start with the tune? Do you start with the lyrics? And I hate that question. But often I do start with a tune and then I just kind of sing rubbish over the top of it until eventually I think of something that's slightly less rubbish to sing over the top of it. But here are some lines that I catch myself singing over the top of songs that I'm in the process of writing, but then ultimately I reject for slightly better lyrics. So first draft of songs, rejected lyrics. I don't have any tunes for these, but I'll kind of pseudo sing them so you get kind of an idea of it, right? Hey, yeah, throw it about like nobody's business. Whoa, ho, yeah, chillax, motherfucker.
That sounds like a good song. I'd like to hear the rest of that.
I like chillax, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two. Creepy, inventive rhythm got a hold of my soul. Entwined. Got of my soul. Entwined.
Are these actually connected to songs that now exist?
No.
Because I'm trying to match them into existing songs.
Not necessarily. Okay. They're things that I catch myself singing out loud.
Yeah.
Love is like the shoes of a goat. Goat shoes! That's what love is like.
Nice.
It's all right, isn't it? It's not too bad.
These are pretty good.
It's not too bad, actually. This is my favorite, I think, because this is kind of a rock song. Like, tonight's the night I'm going to take a bite of your father's delicious face. So there you go, James's List of Things.
Nice. That's good.
Thanks, man.
That was a good one.
Thanks. Ding. Actual preparation. That wasn't one.
Years in the making.
It was actually. Almost all of my segments in this are years in the making.
For cleaner walls and brighter curtains, smudge-free pots and pans today. Cook electrically, the cool, fast, easy way, the modern way.
So I thought I'd share a few of my firsts.
Oh, lovely.
Because that thing where people go, what was your first album? What was your first concert?
Yeah.
I do actually pretty okay in that. In
Me
that
too.
Regard,
I'll go toe because I brought this along as well.
Okay,
do you want to go toe to toe?
Okay, all right, all right. For first album,
now I thought about this.
Mm.
Now, first vinyl,
ooh.
First vinyl, yes. Mine, Star Wars soundtrack.
That's pretty good.
Pretty cred. Pretty
That's
cred.
Pretty good.
I reckon I was 4, maybe 3.
You bought? Wow. Oh, what was the first one you bought with your own money?
First thing I bought with my own money was a tape. Mm-hmm. It was a cassette. Crowded House's first album.
Fuck, that's good.
Is that something?
That is fucking good.
Pretty great.
Good job, you? Chris.
My first album, not embarrassingly, but it's not a music Paul album,
but
unfortunately.
It's Chris, so probably.
It was Monty Python's... I think it was The Meaning of Life, actually.
That's pretty,
it was
that's
either that
good.
Or Life of Brian, but
that's
it was
good.
One of those.
That's great. On tape?
No, on vinyl.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, nice. I had all of those albums on vinyl.
They're great. I actually prefer now the albums to almost anything else. Like, I love those albums.
But do you know what's funny? It makes a lot more sense when they put a vinyl scratch or a crackle
yes.
on it when you're actually playing a record.
It's true.
When you're listening to a tape or a CD, it's so illogical.
Yeah.
My first album that I bought with my own money was a cassette of Supertramp's Breakfast in America.
Wow.
Very nice. Mm.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. It was, but like weirdly, I bought that when I was like, I don't know, 8 maybe or something. It came out in like 1978.
Yeah.
Came out before I was born.
I reckon I got it. I reckon someone made me a tape of it when I was like 11 or 12. Mm. I definitely had it, but like as a you know, someone made me a tape of it and it was, yeah, good.
Just as a little segue.
Yeah.
The first single I bought. And I actually, I bought this myself. I got the other one as a gift, but I bought this one was Believe It or Not.
The theme from the Greatest American.
Yeah. Wow.
Which years later you wrote a game tribute to.
And a movie. I wrote and shot a little film with my friends.
It had quite an influence on
it. Yeah.
Look, it was a great song.
And it was a great series.
Mm. Yeah. It was a great song. It was an okay series.
I liked it.
The first single.
I found it frustrating. It annoyed me that this is the closest thing we had to a superhero and he was inept. And I understand as an adult why that's good, but as a kid I'm just sitting there going, just fucking be better at it. It's just frustrating that you can't use the suit very well. This isn't very Batman. So it annoyed me.
I think I liked the twist.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think the first single...
You're more mature than I was.
I think the first single I bought was... a Hunters and Collectors song called Where Do You Go, which also had on the B-side When the River Runs Dry.
The B-side was River Runs Dry?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird. No wonder that band didn't do very well.
But the first single I ever owned properly, I didn't buy this. I won it.
Can I guess it?
I've mentioned it before.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the song.
The Sun Always Shines on TV.
No.
Crywolf.
Crywolf.
Crywolf. I didn't buy that one. I won that in, get this, a dancing competition at a church fete.
Oh, why have we not heard of this before?
I don't know.
When you say a dancing competition, were you dancing with someone or by yourself?
By myself, I assume. I was only 7.
And was it a prepared routine?
No, it was not.
What was the song that you had to dance to?
I can't remember. I can't remember for the life of me.
Were you wearing the eye patch and the vest?
Probably.
Oh, my
clearly,
God.
Probably wearing something
you
ridiculous.
Were the best.
Oh, you won a dancing competition. That is amazing, you.
Well, I won a prize in a dancing competition. I don't know that I won the whole thing.
So whoever is out there writing our autobiographies, there's a little nugget.
That's a big nugget. First CD you ever bought with your own money?
First CD, I would say I bought a few bootlegs when that was a thing that you could buy. But the first proper legitimate CD, I think I bought. I was late coming to CDs.
Me too.
I got Nirvana's Unplugged in New York.
Oh, that's pretty cred. Chris?
Again, embarrassingly, I'm sorry. But mine was a compilation album, one of the summer hits, you know, 1988 hits
on
out.
CD?
On CD.
I had Choose 87, but on tape.
Yeah, it was so rich. New in the CD world, and I'm pretty sure it was 88.
Sounds about right.
That it had the tracks hadn't been synced properly, so that if you skipped a track to the next song, you would lose the first second and a half of the song.
Yeah, because
they didn't know. They were still learning the technology. So, yeah, that was and I can't remember any of the songs that were on there because they were all terrible.
Yeah. I had 87 right on track, but I never bought any of the 1988 compilations.
Yeah.
First CD I ever bought with my own money. I bought two when I first bought a CD player. I, again, came to it pretty late, and the guy gave me a deal because I was poor and he felt sorry for me. I bought Changes, David Bowie.
That's pretty good.
And John Lennon's Imagine Greatest Hits.
That's not bad.
Not too bad. But first, they're all pretty great, actually.
Yeah.
Except I honestly thought Paula Abdul would get a mention there. Cool.
First concert.
Paul Simon, Rhythm of the Saints tour. I went very late. I was frightened, I think, of going to concerts when I was a kid. So I didn't go until, unless it was a proper big concert, I probably didn't go till about 1990 something. But Paul Simon.
Where was that?
Tennis Center.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, and same year, second concert I ever saw, Paul McCartney at the MCG.
Wow.
Yeah. That was my first two concerts. I went, oh my God, I'm going to keep coming to these things.
Yeah.
Chris?
I think it was probably 1980. It's again, embarrassing. Sorry.
Please be Paula Abdul. Please be Paula Abdul.
Belinda Carlisle.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's amazing. It's incredible.
Do you know, for a brief but terrible moment, I thought you were going to say, I don't remember, but it was a church hall and a young 7-year-old boy wowed us all with a dance that seemed hewn from his very soul.
Yeah.
Belinda Carlisle.
Belinda Carlisle.
Did you do any Go-Go's numbers? Or solo?
No, not
really. Dancing in the Summer Rain.
Because it was, Dancing in the Summer Rain and the horses and Leaving the Light On and all those sort of
things. Leave the
Light
On,
Did
you go with a girl?
No, I went with a bunch of my school friends.
Wow.
All dudes.
And hung out. Yeah.
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 She was hot.
You know.
I get it.
Yeah, absolutely. That was the reason, really. It was like, let's go and see this concert because she's here in Australia.
When you say Belinda Carlisle, I literally picture someone singing Summer Rain for 2 hours. Because I can't think of any other reason to go. It's like Rick Astley singing Never Gonna Give You Up for 2 hours and then goodnight.
Well, I think it was actually the song that I really liked was Leave a Light On for Me.
Yeah.
It was catchy.
It was a very catchy song. Yeah, it was a good song.
Violent Femmes.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah. Rock?
Yeah.
I was at that show.
Really?
At the Palais.
Palais and St Kilda.
You and I wouldn't have even met.
No. No, I was quite young then.
Yeah, yeah. I was. That might have been the first time I ever saw the Violent Femmes.
Yeah.
How about that?
It was definitely the first time I saw the Violent Femmes. It was the first time I'd paid money to go and see any concert.
Terrible album, but that was a great show.
Yeah, it was a great show.
Yeah, that rock album. You know, that rock album was so bad they only released it in Australia.
Oh, really?
Did you know that? It's pretty much a compilation of B-sides.
Yeah, right.
And runs.
It's got Sweet minutes. World of Angels. That's a lovely song.
It's a good song. Yeah. But I think never made it. No, I don't think it was released much anywhere else. It was weird. Anyway, there you go. Pointless music.
First Fight.
First Fight.
Yeah. You guys been in fights?
Oh, no. Goodness. That's.
I assume Chris got into a punch up at the Belinda Carlisle concert.
I do. But you go first.
So I've been in a fight.
Yeah.
I've been in a fight.
Have you?
Yeah. Really? I was in a fight.
Okay.
All right. Easy. Don't get into a fight now.
I was in St Kilda.
Oh,
just been to the best place for a fight.
This was a good few years later. We'd. Had a few drinks and we were...
Should we all be smoking a pipe?
Spiky just injected testosterone.
Yeah. No, I'm getting tough because I've been in a fight.
All right. I think you've made that point rather well.
We were pretty drunk. We're on Fitzroy Street in St Kilda.
Yeah.
Going for some pizza at Topolino's. and was sitting around the table eating pizza and drinking beer, and I turned to a very good friend of mine who is a long-time listener of this show who will not First be happy caller. That I'm telling this story.
Do you want to change his name?
No.
Great.
I just won't mention it.
Good.
Nick.
Right. Bleep that.
And we were like, have you ever been in a fight? And I said, no. And I said, how about you? And he said, not me neither. And then we went back to our pizza. And then we were standing out on the street afterwards. We'd all finished paying and we were standing around. And Nick goes, do you want a fight? And I went, all right. And so we had a fight on Fitzroy Street on a Saturday night.
So when you say Nick, do you mean Tyler Durden? Because that's exactly the scene from Fight Club.
It was pretty much. I know. And it was, yeah, it was pre-Fight Club.
What's sad about that is Mark, that means that Mark ate a whole pizza by himself.
There were other people there who then came out of the restaurant and go, what are you guys doing? Now, basically what happened was we sort of ran at each other and pummeled each other. And then I put Nick in a headlock and then he stood up. Lifting me into the air and then fell over backwards and I landed on him. And then he had to go to hospital because he had a concussion.
Oh.
Fighting is not cool.
I can tell you my first fight now that I remember. It wasn't really a fight, but I'm not a very violent person. I would never hit anybody, but I remember being pushed too far when I was in maybe year eight. And here's the thing. I can't remember why. Some idiot was talking some bullshit that was wrong. And he wouldn't stop talking the bullshit that was wrong. And
yeah, but they just don't.
They just don't.
And wrong people keep talking.
I just kept talking back, but he wasn't taking away the wrongness. And eventually, I had to physicalize my annoyance. And so I didn't mean to do it really, but I swung my leg to kick him just not hard, but just sort of lightly on the sort of the side of his leg, just as if to say, all right, Tiger, that's enough. The end. Unfortunately, he had half a second before had made his final bullshit point and had turned on his heel to walk away triumphantly from the argument that he supposed he had won. And so my foot ended up connecting quite hard with his anus. Now, not his ass cheeks. I am talking about the tender gap between. I kicked
him. Was this the 90s?
Yeah. Oh, no, it was from the 80s.
I was going to say, because 90s, you would have some pointy ass shoes on.
No, I was never trendy.
I
was
probably quite wearing, an injury.
Probably wearing sandals. I kicked him and I didn't mean to kick him as hard as it, but he sort of pushed his ass into it. And so suddenly he went down screaming because I connected and I was so appalled and shocked at what I had done. I remember this, like some music teacher who hadn't seen any of it walked past and I just grabbed him and I just said, he's hurt. I kicked him and he's hurt. And the music teacher went, uh-huh. And I said, please do something. And he's, I don't know what to do. And he walked off. And the guy just lay on the ground crying for lunchtime.
Huh.
And after that, they knew. I literally kicked someone's ass. Literally kicked someone's ass. And I don't think I ever fought again. And that wasn't even really a fight, but it was just, I felt awful when it was awful. That awful feeling. I thought I've killed someone in the ass. It was just shit ass.
Mine gets pretty dark.
Ooh.
But I'll abridge it and try and avoid the darkest parts. It's a very familiar story.
I kicked a kid right in his darkest parts and there was no abridgment.
Having shared about 7,000 sad stories about my success with girls.
Throw more angst on the fire, Chief.
The time that I had a fight, it was a real fight, wasn't pretend fight with my best friend.
It was a real fight. He had a real concussion.
That's true.
It wasn't a real fight.
I went
to homosexual love.
My fight was on the mean streets of Noble Park. Yeah. And I'd gone to a party with my cousins. And my cousins knew all the people at the party, and I just went along. Sure. And there was a very pretty girl there. And so
how
I
old
just,
were you?
I was probably 17.
Okay. Serious, eh?
No, actually, I must have been older because I was driving, so I must have been 18.
Or irresponsible.
So I didn't really know anybody else at the party, and I knew this girl. I'd met her a couple of times before, so I spent a lot of time talking to her. She was very pretty, but that wasn't why I was talking to her. It was because I'm I'm terribly shy, and I didn't want to talk to anybody else. But as it turned out, her ex-boyfriend was at the party.
Mm. Yes.
And and she told me this. She told me that her ex-boyfriend was there and looking shady, which was cool. And that seemed to be fine. He did a few weird things, came up and you know, did a kind of a, hey, how you going sort of thing, and she dealt with it, whatever. And then my cousins.
I'm there.
My cousins and the girl.
This is the abridgment he was talking about earlier.
My cousins and the girl left the party and walked back to my cousin's house, and four guys and the ex-boyfriend started following us down the street, and my cousin's going, it's fine, because she knew the guy as well, and she's going, it's fine, there's, you know, let's just walk, don't interact, it's
chillax,
fine. And then I hear one of the guys say, what, did you call me a worm? I mean, that's genius, clearly. But that was – nobody had said anything. No. But he felt that that was the best way to get into this fracas.
It's good.
And
worm.
And my cousin has turned around and gone, no, nobody said anything. And then these four guys came down and started to punch on with my cousins.
Who were girls?
No. There were boy cousins as well. And I thought I was out of it. I really didn't actually connect this to me.
Yeah.
But the boyfriend has then picked me out specifically. Clearly, the others were there as a decoy. And he's turned around and gone, what are you looking at? And then punched me in the face. And I've never been punched in the face before. And I was wearing glasses.
You don't hit a guy with glasses.
No, if I learned anything from 1950s films and sitcoms. Yeah,
and true. I did taekwondo, like probably 5 years earlier. I had some kind of martial arts training. But my reaction at this moment was to fall to the ground and try and crawl away.
Good reaction.
I think we would have all done the same.
And at this
like
point.
Like a beetle.
Yeah.
Like a worm, in fact.
I literally think I uttered the words when he said, what are you looking at? I've gone, nothing, as his fist impacted my face. And then when I fell on the ground...
are you calling my fist nothing?
as I fell on the ground, he started to put the boot into my rib cage. But because I was right next to a street sign, and every time he kicked me in the rib cage, I smashed my head on the parking pole. And it actually got to a point where he'd kicked me so much that one of my cousin's friends, who was a girl, literally stood over me and said, you have to go through me before you get to him. And then he ran away. And that was mildly humiliating.
No, take protection where you can get it.
I had a lot of blood and bruises, but I had promised to drive the pretty girl home, and I did.
Yeah! Badges of honour, my friend.
And I got a kiss on the cheek for my troubles.
The only place you weren't damaged.
No, actually I was damaged on the cheek. I was damaged all over my face.
So did you see her again?
No.
Boo!
Yeah, bad story.
Comedy podcast.
Oh, man.
Lighthearted discussion.
So in Taekwondo, did you ever learn how to kick a guy square in the anus?
No, but my instructor, Mr. No, used to smack you on the head. So I got injured in Taekwondo because you just got cracked in the skull as a kind of a discipline thing.
For information, what's going on in Lewiston, Clarkston, KRLC, your chief station.
Do you guys want to hear the first story I ever wrote?
Yes, please.
This was, I found this in a photo album when I moved house. This was written in 1979.
Whoa.
I was three. I dictated it to my mother. who wrote it down. It's in her handwriting. I think you'll agree that my prose style has not changed in many, many years. Here it is. It's a very short story. It goes like this. One morning, I set off to be a cornflake. Please let me finish. Okay. One morning, I set off to be a cornflake, and I was swallowed by a fox. The fox let me out of his mouth, and I came out of the fox. I was dirty, so I had a bath. I turned back into a boy and went in the car again. Then Mum has asked me, what did it feel like to be a cornflake? And I've replied, good. He was a friendly fox. The end. That's some of my best work.
It's pretty good.
Got good laughs. I think you'll agree.
I think turn that into a song.
Yeah, sure. New play.
So do you want to hear the first ever podcast I did?
Sure.
Sure, why not?
Well, it's, what's interesting about this is that I wrote my first story in 1979.
Yes.
I recorded my first podcast earlier than that.
Oh, my God.
This was recorded.
Going to be intense.
This was recorded in 1977. This tape it was taped. It's obviously been digitized, but this came from like a tape that was nearly 40 years old.
Big Dumpty had a great day. Happy birthday, dear Maya. Hey.
There you go. So that
That got a clever boy.
I was 18 months old.
All right.
Maybe we should.
And that was recorded for my cousin Maya, who was, I think, turning 3, I guess. And so in those days, very new technology, you could get someone to make a tape. So my mother spent the best part of a 30-minute cassette trying to make her dim child say, happy birthday, Maya. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. You can hear me. I'm obstreperous. I'm annoyed. I'm clearly going to my podcasting dressing room. I'm screaming. I'm doing everything but is required. Nothing has changed.
You cheer yourself at one point.
I do.
Yay!
Look at me. I'm a spoilt ponce.
I have a recording somewhere, but I haven't been able to find it, of me about the same, probably a little bit older, maybe 2 years old, explaining the story of Easter. Because I,
got to find that.
I moved from Brisbane. I was born in Brisbane, and I moved to Melbourne.
And you brought the story of Easter to Melbourne.
Yeah. And I would send.
He was
tapes.
A missionary.
Hear me, Melbourneites! Like I come from Brisbaneite.
In a similar way to you, I think, you know, well, I would send tapes back to my family in Brisbane, and so there was a lot of recordings of me quite young. Actually, I was a bit older. I was probably
Paula Abdul.
But yeah, the story of Easter.
Oh, we got to find that, bring it in.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I've got a play.
Oh. Hey.
It's a play. I don't know. It's a spoken word piece. Let's call it the spoken word.
Good Lord. Right. Someone's done some preparation.
Look, I was thinking about firsts. Mm. And I thought about how firsts, the types of people who are mostly involved in firsts are inventors and pioneers, explorers.
Good.
And that brought me back to
the point,
the discovery of Australia and the first fleet.
Excellent. Good.
Now and then, I can't write anything about the first fleet. So I went.
The first fleet didn't discover Australia.
I went even further back to the discovery of Australia by Captain James Cook.
Well,
now
done.
I understand
also debatable.
That there's some debate,
well, the Dutch, but that's all right.
I may address it. In time.
Ooh, spoiler alert.
So, Sparky.
Maybe.
If I could. Okay. Seagulls. Water.
No, lapping. No, do it. Do it in post, mate.
Okay.
Lapping. A sea shanty, even. I don't know.
Christ.
Here it is.
All right.
A story about the discovery of Australia. Captain's log. Stardate, 22nd of August, 1770. For all of our people who don't know, the day that Australia was discovered by Captain James Cook.
James Cook.
Dear diary. Hello. How are you today? I'm well, thanks. Today was very busy because we accidentally discovered a great giant continent in the southern hemisphere. It was exactly where that Dutchman said. I mean, it was a great surprise to everyone. And I was here first, so I discovered it on behalf of England. The natives were very ungrateful and tried to kill us, even though I pointed out the finders keepers rule of the sea. Then, after we slaughtered a few of them and raised the mighty British flag, we came back to the ship for tea and scones and a good lie down. After a short nap, I felt inspired to write a poem about our discovery, which goes something like this. I discovered a land down under, where women glow and men plunder. Can you hear? Can you hear the thunder? You'd better run. You'd better take cover. Then, suddenly, a time-traveling IP lawyer arrived from the future and claimed I had committed a future breach of copyright. I don't even know what a kookaburra is. It's been a very trying day. Toodlepip, Jimmy Cook, Captain.
Oh, that was probably admissible. Do you want to... look, you guys, I got... do you want to hear the first joke I ever wrote?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's not very good.
No, really?
Okay, that's mean.
No, I was genuinely surprised.
Well, you refuse to say happy birthday to your cousin.
It was written in 1982, and the setup is so laborious that even if the joke was funny, my setup will kill it dead. I was 7 years old. I was in grade two.
Right.
I thought of it during lunch.
Okay.
Ran in, stopped the class, cut my teacher off, got up and told it. Not a good response. It wasn't a funny joke. Now, it's so laborious. For the purposes of the setup, you need to know this.
Okay.
That, do you remember Hoyts? Hoyts was a movie cinema, possibly still is.
Still is.
Still is, yeah.
Hoyts was a movie cinema, and they had a very popular advertising campaign on at the time, and the slogan was, "Now you're really seeing things, Hoyts."
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was a jingle. And so my joke was this, ready? It goes like this. So this guy called Bill Hoyts... met this girl who took off her top and she said to him, "Now you're really seeing things, what?"
That's pretty mature for
what's great about that is that my first ever joke was a dirty joke.
Yeah.
That's not bad. 7 years old, and I didn't quite understand nudity, but I knew it was funny.
You understood breasts.
Yeah.
You knew they were things.
We knew they were things. Oh. Well, even an episode about firsts can't last. Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Look, thank you very much for listening. Hey, here's a fun project that you guys can do to keep the podcast going. If you got a moment and you want to keep, you know, doing the episodes and we can find audience with it, post a 5-star review on iTunes and tell people how great it is. That would be that's a lovely project for you.
And fabulous.
And all you've got, we'll read them. And all you've got to do is include the word awesome. No, it's a better word.
Inspired.
Inspired. That's
genius.
Good. Genius.
Yeah.
One of those words, all of those words. And that'll help us immensely. Hey, if you like us, listen to the old episodes. And Man Bites God have songs on iTunes that you can listen to as well.
Mm-hmm.
Until next we meet, until the next episode of this lovely rambling boat that sails under the sea into your mouth and out of your eyes.
Nowhere near your ears.
Nowhere near your ears. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And that's the end of the world. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Find episodes and more at theatreoftheworld.com.
One of my favorite pirates, and he's so fucking good. You're watching it going, this is amazing that a man could be this good. Do you know he only died in like 1983 or 5 or something? Like some, I was alive at the same time as Beckett. He could have, you know, and you know, the first thought I had was he could have seen Caddyshack. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine Samuel Beckett watching Caddyshack? It's possible.
Wow. He probably did.
How fucking crazy is that?
It's nuts.
This is man bites dog. This is man bites dog.